next year I'm having Thanksgiving with some white people. I need a break. We be doing too damn much. White people keep Thanksgiving simple. Here's they make. Give me some white people Thanksgiving music. Here we go. Turkey stuffed with stovetop stuffing. Honey baked ham. Libby's cranberry sauce in the can. Mashed potatoes. Green bean casserole. Pumpkin pie dinner rolls. Tab and fresca to drink. 4 to 8 people. Dinner start at 4 o'clock. That's it. Why we can't do that? Why we be doing the most on Thanksgiving? Can I get some black folks Thanksgiving music? Can I get some? Say what? Fried turkey, baked turkey, roasted turkey, raw turkey, barbecue turkey, smoked turkey wings, honey glazed ham, baked ham, kosher ham, green eggs and ham, fried chicken, baked chicken, barbecue chicken, lemon pepper chicken, smothered chicken, rotisserie chicken, funky chicken, chicken gizzards, chicken tenders, chicken and dumplings, chicken pot pie, Cornish hen, British hen, roast beef, stew meat, beef stew, turkey and gravy, beef gravy, chicken gravy, pork gravy, onion gravy, shepherd's pie, macaroni with yellow cheese, macaroni with white cheese, candy yams, candy burrs, sweet potato soup, oxtails, pigtails, ducktails, chitlins, catfish nuggets, whiting, salmon patties, flounder, snapper, trout, baked tilapia, blackened tilapia, fried tilapia, deer meat, barbecue ribs, meatloaf, turkey meatloaf, country fried steak, smothered pork chops, fried pork chops, barbecue pork, cornbread dressing without butter peas, green beans, butter beans, navy beans, kidney beans, pork and beans, nigga jelly beans, turnip greens, collard greens, mustard greens, baked cabbage, boiled cabbage, raw cabbage, Brussels sprouts, asparagus juice, fried squash, mashed potato, baked potato, sweet tea, Kool-Aid, Minute Maid, fruit punch, Dr. Thunder. Somebody had to go to the Dollar Tree.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I watched 20 minutes of it, and I watched that part. That part of it was part of the 20 minutes. It is so fucking funny, and it is so fucking true. Stovetop stuffing, that's what we like. We don't want any oysters or Old Bay seasoning. We just want bland stovetop stuffing.
Come on now. A little. Man, when I tell you that about white people out, I talk about my 600-pound life TV show. That's my favorite show.
That's his favorite show.
All the women that's on there, they all got a man.
I noticed everyone,
but all the men over there don't got a woman. None of them, not one of them has a woman. It's weird. It's so strange.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us. It is a TCB Infomercial Tuesday. We are very excited to have radio legend, local hero, and overall good guy, Ricky Smiley, here in the studio with us. Three radio legends meeting together for the very first time. Me, of course, WWLG the Legend. Chrissy, of course, one episode of WWWG the Legend. And some Scam Call FM, if you don't mind.
That's right. I was on there a little bit.
Yes, you were. And then Ricky Smiley, who has been in 162 radio stations for 30 years. But let's not talk about details, because it's just legend to legend to legend having a conversation about what it's like in the world of radio. He is
the biz.
The biz, as they say. The radio biz. We would call it Hollywood, but it's more like Hollywood, Florida than Hollywood, California. But you get the point. No knock on Hollywood, Florida. Lovely place.
I can't wait to talk to Ricky.
If you're looking for crystal meth. Okay, I can't wait to talk to Ricky either. And here's why. Will you share? Why? Why are you excited?
Well, I mean, exactly. Local radio legend. He's been around forever, has deep ties to Atlanta. I know he's originally from Birmingham, but just I can't wait to pick his brain and just see what made Ricky Ricky.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ricky Smiley has done a syndicated morning show forever. I think for like 24 years. I don't know. I think 2000 is when he started. Station out of Dallas, and then he took off, and I believe, and we can ask him, he's syndicated in almost 100 radio stations currently in the morning show, and he's been just like a solid foundation of Atlanta radio for a long time, including when Chrissy and I worked in radio. And one of the things I want to share with him is, even when we worked at Clear Channel, he was not on Clear. I think he was on maybe V103 at the time.
I think so.
Radio 1. Is that V103? Radio 1? Okay. We'll ask him. I don't want to get it wrong. But
that's Odyssey now, right?
That is Odyssey now. That's right. Is he on Odyssey? No, I don't think he is. I think he switched to a different station here in Atlanta. I don't think it's V103 anymore.
Yeah, but it's not the same company throughout the whole country, right, that he's syndicated on?
No, he's syndicated on a bunch of different radio stations. Yeah, I mean, with 100 and some odd radio stations, there's no way it's just one company. But he was talked about in our building.
Yep.
Even though he didn't work at our company. And when you kind of get that kind of cachet, you know that it's a big deal. Like the syndicated big boys and girls of radio, Ricky is one of them. So it's exciting to talk to him. He's also a very funny human being. He's got a brand new book out. Not brand new. It's been around for a while, actually. I'd say
it's
brand new.
Grief.
It's brand new to you, the listener, who hasn't heard of him. It's about grief and life, being Ricky Smiley. He lost his son at 32 years old. From an overdose. He was an addict. He was struck with the terrible sickness of addiction.
As many people in this country, unfortunately, have relatives that happens to.
Yes. And one of the things that I've read about Ricky, and that's part of the reason why I'm grateful to have him here, is that he's been very transparent about his grief, about his son's passing, about the circumstances and the addiction that his son had gone through. He's also gone to NA with family members. He talks about that in his book. That's spoken about. He's just one of these people who likes to shower the world with his own perspective, regardless of how easy or tough that those conversations might be.
He just has a connection to people.
I think that's why he's got an audience that is huge and stuck around for a long time. He's also on tour. I think he does a number of shows a month or a year. We'll ask him more about that, but you can go to the links in the show notes below. We have a link to all of Ricky's information where you can find the book. He's got a special on Hulu,
which looks really funny. I watched the trailer. I'm going to watch it because it looks hilarious.
I watched 20 minutes of it, so I didn't have enough time to watch the whole thing, so I just kind of and jumped in, and at some point he starts talking about the differences between white people Thanksgiving and black people Thanksgiving, and he says that he likes white people Thanksgiving because they come in, no muss, no fuss, you know, turkey, stovetop stuffing, cranberry in a can, and just get on with life, say your hallelujahs and leave. And then black people, there's 75,000 different versions of food. It lasts all day. There's three different feedings. People carry on in drama. And he said, I kind of like the white people Thanksgiving. Get in, get out.
Yeah.
Real simple, straightforward. Everyone does it. And I, having been to both a black Thanksgiving and a white Thanksgiving, he's right. And I think really more than white and black Thanksgiving, it should be Thanksgiving for most people. And then like a deep South Thanksgiving.
I was going to say that it's something about the South.
Something about the South.
Thanksgiving. Because I have to say, growing up, I remember us having a ton of different dishes, too. And it being an all-day affair. You're watching football. You're eating. You're watching more stuff at the parade. You're eating.
Yeah, it's just when you put mussels or oysters in the turkey stuffing, it's a different kind of Thanksgiving. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I have been to those versions of Thanksgiving, and then I have had my own, what I grew up with, very bland Irish Catholic Thanksgiving. You know, amen, holy shit, let's eat the dinner and hit it and quit it. Amen. Holy shit. Eat the dinner and get the fuck out. So anyway, it was really, really funny. And I look forward to seeing the rest of it. So he's got this special on Hulu, this book about grief and growth. And then, of course, he is very popular on the radio channel.
The morning show for a lot of people.
I'm excited about this one. So let's do this. Why don't we take a break? And then through the magic of telepodcasting, we'll have Ricky right here in our own studio. Why we did not ask him to come and be with us in person, I have no idea. But we'll fix that moving forward. We must ask him. He's in Atlanta.
I know.
We should have just had him here. Let's take a break. And when we get back, the legendary Ricky Smiley.
Let's do it.
We'll be back.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Rachel. I have a terrible cold, but Brian wanted me to pass along the message that TCB's exclusive merch drop happens Friday, August 8th through the 22nd. You can pre-order your limited edition commercial break hat, hoodie, university sweater, or t-shirts and get an exclusive TCB sticker free with every purchase. Go to shoptcbpodcast.com Friday, August 8th through the 22nd to pre-order your merch, because when the window closes, it closes for good. So mark it on your calendars, Friday, August 8th through the 22nd, shoptcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to go take some DayQuil and feed Axel more pork chops. Best to you.
The legendary Chrissy, Ricky Smiley, here with us now. Hi, Ricky. How are you?
Hi, Ricky.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me. How y'all doing?
Yeah, we're good.
We're fantastic.
We're better now that Ricky Smiley is here, because as Atlanta, not natives, but we lived here for a long time. Me, 30 plus years. Chrissy, 30 plus years.
Yep.
You have been in our ears and a part of the culture
lives
here in Atlanta for a long time. Share with me a little bit about what Atlanta means to you, because I like when Atlanta natives come on and talk about Atlanta.
Man, you know.
I know you're not native, but you're a big part of the culture. You're a big part of the culture.
Oh, no. We almost native. Everybody that lived in Birmingham went to Atlanta every weekend when we were able to get in the car and drive. We partied in Atlanta. We grew up in Atlanta also. We love Outkast also.
Yeah.
So we go to Lake Lanier. We go to Lenox and Greenbrier Mall also.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I remember going on stage at Birthday Bash at the State Farm Arena.
Oh, yeah.
Half of the audience was from Birmingham.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, if there ever was a big concert in Atlanta, they run advertisement in Birmingham. Everybody's on the highway. We're gone.
It's such an easy drive over. Yeah.
Yeah, once you get past Six Flags, you're in the game.
You're there.
That's it. Yeah. and actually, the Atlanta and Birmingham do share, there's this like sinew between the two of us, this thread between the two of us. So many people from Atlanta go to school over there and party over there and hang out over there. It's an easy drive.
Jump on Interstate 20.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let me get one thing straight, because I see people in Atlanta wearing these hats. You see this right here?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the Braves. That's the Crimson Tide.
Yes.
Yes.
Braves.
Yes.
Roll Tide. Go Braves. Roll Tide. Let's be clear.
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you for clearing that up, because a lot of people, you know, here's a funny thing. So it was like my brother-in-law, who's Venezuelan, lives in Houston, works in Indianapolis, came down to Atlanta. He likes to rock his Atlanta gear because he loves it. And he came in with an A shirt one time. And I was like, and he goes, look at my Atlanta shirt. And I go, that is not an Atlanta shirt. And he goes, it is an Atlanta shirt. It's got an A on it. And I said, no, that's an Alabama shirt.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. And the big difference is the swoop at the top. There you go. Look at that.
Uh-huh.
Get them together, my friend.
You had to correct him.
How have you managed to keep yourself so in, you are like a radio legend. You have been around for I don't want to date you, but you've been around for so many years rocking that radio show. How have you weathered so many storms that so many other people have not? As radio, as former radio people, we have seen a few of these storms come and go. You're just good.
That's really a good question. And you know what the answer is? I was talking to, one of my co-hosts yesterday, Alfreda's, about that, mastering the art of being funny.
Yes.
Of being funny. People want to laugh. I found out through research and through morning show boot camps, people want to be entertained in the morning. They want to be uplifted. They don't want to talk about heavy subjects all the time. You got to have a good balance on the show. And you have to have somebody that really knows how to, number one, stir the pot. Number two, make it about the listeners and not me. You know, taking phone calls, getting the audience involved, audience participation. You know, the PD is going to always program the music. But like, for example, this week I'm doing Blonde Hair, Blue Eyes Soul Week.
Ah. Right?
I'm going to do it for 2 weeks. So these are white artists that was played on black radio stations.
Ah, so cool.
You know,
what a good idea.
When I did, I did Tina Marie. I would play two songs at the top of the hour in the 8 o'clock hour, like Tina Marie. And when you, when the show becomes unpredictable, and I cannot miss the Ricky Smiley Morning Show because I might miss something because they're crazy and they're outside of the box. And we just don't allow, you know, we just kind of do radio. And I have a good feel of the audience because I'm a performer, right?
Yeah.
I perform on the weekends. So when you perform on the weekends and you do karaoke shows live during the week and in comedy clubs, you get a sense of what the audience want.
What they're talking about, helps. What they're feeling. You it's like an energy in the room and you can feel it across the radio waves. I know that sounds weird, but you know, you got your finger on the pulse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you're getting text messages while you're on the air, that means that, and you're getting messages on Messenger, on Facebook, people are talking, they're talking about the show. So it's really important to have your, you know, finger on what people want.
That's very interesting. You know, so I used to listen to Stern for years when he jumped over to Sirius, and we didn't have him in Atlanta until he went to Sirius, but I started listening to him when he came on Sirius. And I've got really invested in this show. And I noticed that a bunch of other people also were invested in the show, had to listen to it. It was kind of like a must listen type thing. And I asked myself one day, why am I so invested in the show? And here's why. It becomes like a family. It's a soap opera that you want to keep up with. It's unpredictable. It's something reliable, right? It's something I can rely on. I can rely on them to entertain me, make me happy, maybe even occasionally make me cry. But I can rely on it every morning, and I'm invested in the characters of the show. Mm-hmm. I'm invested in who's telling me what. And it's like a little soap opera that you just keep up with. It's not, you know, overdramatic, but I think you probably have a very similar relationship with your audience. You're reliable. You're there. You're funny. You know, you're open. And I think that's part of what you're known for also is that you are transparent, right? You're not.
Absolutely. You have to be transparent. Like we laugh. We cry. We talk about things. We talk about autism. We talk about, we have a partnership with St. Jude where we raise money for the, you know, the kids that's battling cancer.
God bless you.
We do a lot of stuff on the radio, man. And I just always try to make it about the listeners and make it about the people.
Yeah.
And not myself, but I get a kick out of it. I have a great team. I have Gary. I have the world famous DeBrat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Co-host. Brad is the first female rapper to sell over 1 million albums. You know, and I have a really, really great team and great producers. So putting a show together is a lot of fun.
How long will you do this, Ricky? The audience wants to know. Will you do this until they literally drag you out of the studio? Do you feel that kind of passion for it still? Or is this something...
They might have to drag me out.
I like it.
Do y'all know that I'm up around 3:30, 4 o'clock every morning, no alarm clock, never, my whole life.
Whoa.
Your body's just built that way.
Yeah. But I was like that as a kid. I was raised by grandparents, so I'm up drinking Senka brand coffee with my grandma.
I remember Senka.
My grandfather used to drink too.
Yeah, mine too.
I remember those commercials. Yeah. I remember
that
the smell.
The instant coffee. Oh, yeah.
Remember, at first everybody was drinking Taster's Choice, and then they went to Senka brand.
Yeah, that's it. Senka came along, and it's just destroyed.
I remember Senka and Sweet and Low.
Sweet and Low.
Yeah.
And your grandma would give you a little coffee and a bowl and And while you have your little coffee in the morning, up watching TV with your grandma.
Yep.
And stuff. So I haven't been an early bird, a natural early bird my entire life. So since I'm up, I might as well do radio.
Yeah, there you go.
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And keep your name out there and your brand out there, and working Monday through Friday, whether you perform or not, you get up and go to work. You get up and go do radio. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I think you're smart too, is that, you know, like a lot of people who have been on the radio, who have gotten successful careers on the radio, you parlay this. You've got almost like a huge megaphone to promote the other things that you do. Also, you've made a little cottage industry out of Ricky Smiley, right? You're on tour. You've got the book. You've now got the Hulu special. You do these things, and then you can go on 5 days a week, and you can tell people about it, and you've got this built-in audience for what you do.
I'll tell y'all something y'all might be interested in knowing. You know how I got that? Well, I started on a local station in Birmingham, but you know how I got the job in Dallas?
Oh, Texas? That was your flagship for a while, right? Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas, Texas. And so I get a phone call from Steve Harvey.
What?
Steve Harvey is one of my mentors, and he's my fraternity brother. We're all Omegas. We're all in the same fraternity. DL, Steve Harvey, Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan, Anthony Anderson, Joe Torre.
Whoa.
We're all members.
That's
we're
quite
all members.
The fraternity.
Yeah, we Charlie. I can go on and on. Charlie Ward. The Two Live Stews. We are all members of the same fraternity, and a wonderful organization founded at Howard University in 1911.
Yes, famous age.
So Steve, yes. I was open. Opening up for the Kings of Comedy, I got really, really close with Steve, and Steve called me one day, and he said, "Hey, I'm getting ready to go to Clear Channel. I'm leaving Radio One, and I'm going to Clear Channel." He said, "I recommended you for this job," and I told him, I said, "You know, I just bought a house in Birmingham. Let me think about it," or whatever. So he handed the phone to his bodyguard, Boomerang, who's about 6'8".
I love it.
Boomerang cursed me the hell out.
No way.
He said, "Let me tell you something, ML.
Motherfucker."
Yeah. Yeah. He said, "You don't tell nobody like Steve Harvey what you're going to think about." He said, "You don't have your skinny black ass in Dallas by tomorrow morning, we ain't effing with you no more."
Yeah.
And hung up in my face.
Oh, that's amazing.
Did you get in the car and start driving to Dallas?
I was sitting on the back of the last row of Southwest Airlines. With tears in my eyes, because I felt like I never lived anywhere outside of Birmingham. I knew I was going to probably get that job and end up there. I didn't want to disappoint them. And Steve was still on the air when I landed. And when I was walking up, the radio station was inside of a mall. So when they saw me walking, they all looked and they were shocked. Like, he really showed up. And I went and did the interview and got the job. And I did Steve Harvey the last two weeks with him on the air to make a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smart.
So and that's how it happened. And I won in Dallas. And then the owner decided that he was gonna syndicate me. He put me on all of his stations. And then I went on all of Mr. Perry stations out of Oklahoma. And then next thing you know, I ended up on Cox, the Miami station. And when Tom Joyner retired, they slid us over into that slot.
Oh, that's right.
So now I'm at like around 100 affiliates. It's crazy.
That's insane. There are
wildfire.
That's a wildfire. And I know that just from my understanding of the radio business, my small understanding of the radio business, having worked there for a while, like to be syndicated in five stations is a big deal. Very few, like Ryan Seacrest, Howard Stern, Joyner, Ricky Smiley, Steve Harvey. These are names, Casey Kasem when he was alive. Those are names that get syndicated like that. It's very difficult.
Delilah. I miss her.
Why do I listen to Delilah almost every night and wait for her, some guy to call up and talk about he's in love with a chick from the third grade with eight kids and he still want to marry her, and she plays And she plays Air Supply.
It's so good. It's so good.
It is woven into our fabric. Uh-huh. If you grew up in a certain time and you don't know who Delilah is, your parents were not raising you correctly. Yeah. I mean, Delilah is amazing. Mm-hmm. She also has been around for, and listen, then there's other, you know, radio cucks that we can talk about, like Dr. Laura and Rush Limbaugh. But syndication is very difficult, and you have done it very well. 100+ radio stations. Is amazing. Your longevity speaks to how
the connection people have. Yeah,
tuned
have
in
with you.
That your audience mm-hmm. is with you in Atlanta. You're legendary. I mean, people would talk about you at Clear Channel, even though you weren't at Clear Channel, and and so that's quite amazing. Do you enjoy? For you, is it the microphone or is it the stage that pulls you a little bit more when it comes to like being with the audience? I'm sure you're more familiar. Like it feels.
It used to be the stage, but now it's the radio microphone because, man, when I tell you I am in, like I have a studio. This guy named John Matthews built a studio in my house, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but wait a minute. People are like, oh, you can do the morning show in your pajamas. I'm like, no.
Yeah, we know
I
that.
Would never disrespect radio to walk in here and do the show in my pajamas. I get up, take a shower, get dressed, cleaned up, walk down the hall, cook my coffee on the stove. No Keurig. No Keurig. I have your grandmother's percolator.
Yeah, you got the Sanka.
Okay. Yeah. I make my old school coffee. You know, I might order some donuts from Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' or whatever. They'll put it on the porch or whatever. And I got my little fruit and I'm in there watching Way Too Early on MSNBC.
I
got the other TV on ESPN.
Yeah.
I am ready to roll at 15 to 5. My show starts at 5. I'm looking over my script, making sure everything is straight. And I'm ready to go. And I really enjoy that job on radio because you can sit. You don't have to get on a plane, mm-hmm. train, automobile to get there. And it don't give me the anxiety that I get when I get ready to perform.
Sure.
Because walking on stage, people pay money to come see you. So the expectations are like right here.
Yes.
Radio is free. But when people pay $40 to come see you perform, so now you got to get on the plane. You got to check in the hotel. You got to get dressed. You got to memorize your act. I'm on stage like an hour and 15, hour 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's a long show, Ricky.
Yeah, blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah. Like I mainly do casinos now instead of comedy club venues, theaters, and casinos. So you got to give people what they paid for, and you got to perform.
We've talked
radio
to
is less pressure.
We've talked to a few comedians, and they have said something very similar. Is that you know, they get excited when a special comes out and it can kind of live and breathe on its own for a mm-hmm. while because there is always this expectation. You don't want to ruin somebody's Saturday night that they paid, you know, $100 with them and their loved one to come see you. You don't want to let them down. They get dressed up. They come out. They go out to eat. They make a night of it. And then they come and you have an off night and they go, you know. But when you're on radio, we feel the same way. When you do 4 days a week, it pays to be mediocre, right? Yeah. Just be mediocre and not that you are, but we are. Just be funny enough. If you can make them laugh once or twice during the show, you'll do it again tomorrow and they'll get another shot at it. But, you know, but it's good that you have the audience to go out there and fill casinos and theaters because that's an extra, hey, listen, let's be honest about it. It's an extra revenue source. It also gets you out of the house. So it gets you out of your, gets you out of your Sanka routine.
How often do you do those shows where you're getting out?
Probably now 3 or 4 times a month. I just did the casino, some big casino in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm. And I ran off stage and jumped on that red eye into Atlanta Airport. You know what? I found out that even if you die, you have to go through Atlanta Airport to get to heaven.
It's true.
Yes.
Yes, oh, it's true. Atlanta Airport takes you to
I was just there the other day.
Yeah, all roads lead to Hartsfield-Jackson. It's 100% true. Yeah. Well,
yes, sir.
It's because Delta is, you know, it's just Delta. That's the reason. Delta, the world's largest airline, Delta. It's everybody goes to Delta. When I got to say something about, you know, you being an Omega and the HBU and all the very famous, amazing entertainers that have gone with you. DL has become my favorite Instagram account ever. I just got to say that right now. Ever. He knocks it out of the park. And I know it's probably not him posting every single time, but I'm sure you follow him on Instagram. That guy is on top of it. I love it. I love his content. It's great.
He is a big brother. DL Hughley is a big brother. DL Hughley is a mentor. DL Hughley is a friend. DL Hughley is a genius comic. There have been times where I found out DL Hughley was performing somewhere. I just want to go and be quiet and sit in the dressing room and watch him sit over there with one of the cleanest, most nicely dressed comedians in the country.
Oh yeah.
Cross his legs, have him a drink, smoke a cigar. I remember when he was opening up for the Kings of Comedy, man, I would copy his style. Like, that's where I got a lot of my style from, because yeah. I've really gotten into fashion now. Checking out DL Hughley. I remember when he had the twist with the fade. When I became the host of Comedy, I had the twist with the fade on the side.
Yeah.
Like, DL Hughley is a mentor. DL Hughley he will challenge you to be better. I remember we went to Houston's restaurant, we were having lunch, and I just wanted to sit with the bodyguards or whatever, but nah, DL was like, nah, we're going to go sit over here. And I was like, oh, damn, wow. I already know what's going to happen, because if I sit over here with him, he's going to grill me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Him and Steve, they're so much alike when it comes to having someone to challenge you and to make you better and to make you uncomfortable.
Mm.
That's where the growth happens.
That's where the
money. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend who said, if it's uncomfortable, lean into it.
Yeah.
That's where you need to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember after that dinner, sitting in my car for 20 minutes, and that's when I start the ball rolling for that comedy special.
Wow.
David E. Talbot and Lynn Talbot directed, produced it. But it was DL that put that fire under me and was just getting on to me about a lot of stuff, a lot of things that I could be doing that I was not doing. And I just have so much respect for that. Yeah, it's easy to tell somebody, hey, man, you're doing a good job, whatever. But when you get somebody to say, hey, man, you ain't doing nothing and you could be doing he named about 25 things and was grilling me. And I felt like a dumbass. He wasn't trying to make me feel that way. But like, I really needed that challenge. And I tell you what, if you don't hit him up and check in with him here and there, I can feel when it's time for me to send a text message or call or whatever. I'm always in a group text with him and Steve. Or whatever, but I check in. I check in with Martin Lawrence. You know, I send a courtesy text message and check in, and just a hump. I went on tour with Martin Lawrence. That was the biggest thing I ever done since the Kings. And to have Martin Lawrence host and D-Ray Davis, Adele Givens, Bruce, Michael Blackston. Beast. In arenas where the NBA teams play. But I'll never forget Ashley Larry, Donnell Rollins.
We had Donnell a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, my God. He got a standing ovation in front of me. And I was enjoying, I was laughing at him. And I was like, oops, I'm next.
I got to follow that.
You're in Atlanta. All the bloggers on the first three rows. All the celebrities on the first three rows. You cannot have a bad show in Atlanta. If you do, your career is
screwed. Yeah.
But I apply Alabama football to everything. I'm a big fan of Nick Saban. Guess what I have? I have a playbook.
For your act?
Yes.
Wow.
I have like six different acts, right? And I'm watching Donnell Rollins on stage, and I go and I get my playbook, and I say, well, I can't do what I was going to do because he literally killed the audience, and I knew what they had a taste for, right? The audience not going to have a taste for what I had planned. I think he has swung the audience in this direction, so I need to be over here.
Wow.
Where they are.
I love the strategy.
Yeah. I tore it out of the notebook, and when he got a standing ovation, my role manager ran in front of the stage and took that piece of paper and laid down my 1 through 10. I only got 20 minutes on stage, but I did that 1 through 10. I had enough sense to say, hey, let me put this together. I think this is the act that's appropriate for this particular audience, especially after what he just did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I went out there and got a standing ovation also.
Ah, so, love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of preparation going to comedy because you just can't. It depends on the audience and where you are and who you're performing with. That decides what you're going to do on stage. You
that's
know what I mean?
So
you
have to switch smart. It up. Yeah, that's so mm-hmm. smart. We had a comedian on, and he said to us that it's like a choose your own. When you get good enough at comedy, we've done it a long time, you've got a lot of material, you've got a lot of resources in your brain and in your back pocket, that it's like a choose your own adventure. And depending on the vibe, it's like you're walking through the forest and you're moving left and right, right? You're choosing your own path as the audience. You feel them out and you see how it is. And I imagine like reading a putt, I'm sure you do some golfing, like reading a putt, you read Donnell's putt and you said, okay, I gotta hit it this way.
Yep.
Super smart.
The experience is everything. I've been performing for 35 years. This November, it will be 36 years. I started November 13th, 1989.
That's incredible.
That's when I went on stage for open mic night. And listen, I tell you, that experience in those years and years and in those comedy clubs and had people to train. I used to open for Rita Rutner. I used to open for Ollie Joe Prater.
Whoa.
And Jeff Foxworthy. I used to open for those guys. And
you opened for Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah, at the Comedy Club in Birmingham.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was a young skinny comic.
How old were you?
I had to be about 20.
When you got on stage for the first time, you were about 20 years old?
Yeah, probably about 20, yeah.
What made you want to do this?
Yeah, you always knew you wanted to do this?
I went to a comedy club with a guy that was on campus at Miles College. I was finishing up college at Miles College. He said, hey, I'm a comedian. He said, I knew him, you know, from being on campus. He said, hey, come ride over to the comedy club with me. I didn't have a car. I was like, sure. I didn't have nothing to do. I went over to the comedy club and I saw him on stage. I'm like, if they laughing at him doing those jokes, which he was funny, I know I could do that because that's what we do. I would charge people to come in the dorm room and roast. And we would have roasting sessions. We had the first wilding out in the dorm.
Yeah.
I would sit on one bed and somebody on another floor down the hall would sit on another bed. We would face each other and we would roast.
Just go at it.
And so, I was always known for telling funny stories and doing funny things because one of my classes, I was doing music in a music class. Zebedee Jones, he's also a member of Omega Psi.
Wow.
And that was my music teacher. And he was like, hey, why are you late? I said, listen, everybody just froze. I said, I had death in the family. He said, oh my God. He said, I am so sorry. Go ahead and have a seat. Mr. Smiley, if you need anything, let us know. He said, I feel bad for you. He said, who was it? I said, it was my uncle. We were really, really close. I said, but they got him a hearing aid now, and I think he's going to be fine.
He had a deaf in the family. Yeah.
It took him about 3 minutes. Three minutes. That thing started hitting like microwave popcorn. Pop, 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 pop. How about he dismiss class?
Oh, no. He took the class down. Oh, my God. That's too funny on a deaf in the family.
They got
that is dad joke level funny. All right. Yeah. So here's a question. And this we're calling back to the beginning of this interview. You know, call back. You've been on radio for a long time. I'm calling back for a second. Hall & Oates. On your blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, I don't think either of them are blonde-haired. Oh, no, I guess.
Yeah, I guess Daryl
would be blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Is it, Hall & Oates, their early stuff. Like, I mean, I'm not talking like their poppy 80s shit, but their early stuff. Do you consider that good R&B? Was that
played? Oh, yeah. They played all of this stuff I grew up listening to a radio station founded by Dr. A.G. Gaston.
Okay.
You got to Google Dr. A.G. Gaston. He was a grandson of slaves, and he a self-made millionaire. He lived not far from my grandparents, but he lived in a big mansion. And I would listen to WIN radio station, and they would play those songs by Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Uh-huh.
And they would play. I remember growing up as a kid, they was playing Fleetwood Mac on black radio stations.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, you would hear Christy McVie singing "You Make Loving Fun" to "Dreams" by Stevie Nicks. And, oh, they played all that stuff in between Marvin Gaye and the Commodores.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and then when MTV came out, you had to watch all the videos to get to Michael Jackson Thriller.
That's it. I was just watching, you know, this is crazy. Like earlier this morning, I was watching Instagram. One of the Instagram accounts I watch is like found footage. And found footage of Michael Jackson and his choreographer doing the Smooth Criminal dance work, like figuring that out, and this choreography he had used. And listen, we all talk about Michael's personal life till we're blue in the face, but the truth is that he blessed us with some of the best music and some of the best dancing that has ever been seen on earth. And watching him figure all of this out with his choreography is like watching Van Gogh paint. It's like quite crazy how he moves his body. And I have... You know, I don't have admiration for some of the things he was accused of doing, never found guilty, but I don't have admiration for that, obviously. But I have admiration for the way that
he used his
mind and his body and his voice to create these works of art. It's quite frankly, it's crazy.
One of the best of all time.
Mm-hmm. You better believe it. So you have a book out. What's the title of the book? I'm sorry, I don't have the
name of the book is called Sideshow. Now, I don't know if you know anything about... I think the group is called Blue Magic. They had a song called "Let the Side Show Begin." Hurry, hurry, step right on in.
Yes.
Can't afford to pass it by. Guaranteed to make you cry.
Mm.
Right? So that song is about a clown that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever listen to the songs, a sad show, sometimes that's a story of a lot of our great comedians. Our job is to make people laugh while we're crying on the inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don Al Rawlings said the same thing while he was here.
Oh, yeah. Man, listen, I lost my son on a Sunday. Wednesday, I was back on the air. I was back on the air Wednesday. Tuesday night, I picked out his clothes, put the clothes in the car. Wednesday, I did the morning show. And I went to the funeral home to help with final arrangements.
Oh.
But I have a job to do because this is the reason why I've had a lot of success in radio, because I had to realize that I'm not the only one that lost a son.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners that have lost a son also that could relate to what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And your job as a human being is to use your situation. And not as a human being, as a Christian, is to use your situation to bless others.
Mm.
It's not about you. It's not all about you. Somebody in Chicago, somebody in Charlotte, somebody in South Florida, somebody in Decatur and Bankhead and Buckhead, and somebody in Dallas, Texas, and Houston have lost a son or a daughter also.
Yeah.
And my job is to get on the air and get people motivated and encouraged and let them know if I can make it, you can make it also.
Yeah.
And remember, everything that we all go through as human beings is only a test. But it don't feel like a test when you're going through it, but it's a test. God watches us and say, hey, I really like the way he's handling that situation, because if you can't handle this, you're not ready to go to the next level that God have for you.
Mm.
And so... we have to always be mindful of that, of having a successful podcast, having a successful radio show. We have to sometimes make it not about you. And let's find out how can we find a way to help other people, share your story to help other people and bring people closer to God and save lives. Because my son died from an overdose. But like my mom said, I would go to ENA meetings with my mom. And one thing I learned in NA meeting is some have to die so others can live.
Mm.
Now, if my son died and I saved a lot of lives because he died.
Wow.
And, that's the responsibility that we have as radio personalities, is to have these real conversations about things that really hurt us in order to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful reminder. And I think it's a very powerful reminder, too. We get a lot of email, like you do, a lot of emails, a lot of text messages. Most of them, hey, great job. Love the show. That was funny. This is interesting. But some of them are really powerful that, hey, having a bad day and you made it a little brighter. Or some of them have even been more intense, like, hey, having a bad life and you made it a little bit better. And thank you for that. But for you to use your shared experience and share that shared experience, that really is what being human is all about. And I do think that God is found in those moments when we can use our own experience to comfort someone, make them more wise, give them a different perspective, or even just have the ability to hold space for them. Like, you know, you're going through this too. And I just want to tell you that I'm here with you and I see that pain and I feel it. You're not alone.
Yeah.
And that's.
And when I went on that book tour, that was my second book. I'm thinking you're going to sign the book and go to the next person, sign the book, go to the next person, sign the book. Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh,
no,
I can imagine.
These people have lost. I had a lady, I'll never forget it, in Nashville. Two that stick out with me was a couple, because I found a sense of gratitude. There's a couple that lost their 3-year-old son. He drowned.
Oh.
And they were sitting in the back of the book signing it. They were both in tears the whole time. And I'm sitting here like, well, their son was 3 years old. They didn't get to see their kid get on the school bus. My son was 32.
Yeah.
Their son was 3. Mm. Man, and how is it that I was able to find gratitude from that?
Yeah.
The fact that they did not get to see their son graduate middle school, elementary school, high school. I was able to take my son, drop my son off, you know, off to college. And, you know, when I met a lady that said she lost her son and her husband, and she said, I don't want to talk about it. She had tears in her eyes. She just stopped talking.
Yeah.
I said, ma'am, are you okay? She just shook her head. She wouldn't say anything or she wouldn't speak another word. I grabbed her and I stood her behind me. I said, I want you to wait. I want you to wait. She had purchased a book.
Yeah.
I politely say, hey, is there a therapist in the room? And it was like 2. And the fact that I was able to connect her to a therapist to get her, the help that she needed.
Yeah.
That was so important. That was my responsibility as a radio personality, as a human being, as a Christian, as a comedian, is to put people in the right place. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything is orchestrated by God. Anyway, and I had to let God, allow God to use me, you know, in order to help people, whether it's on the radio or in person. So I just give God all the glory for if I was able to help anybody with my situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Serendipity is the kiss of heaven. Yeah. And it's like it is inspiring. And we do often find purpose in the depths of darkness, right? Mm-hmm. That is,
yes.
You know, I used to say this very simple phrase. I thought I was wise at the time. I was probably 15 when I thought it or said it for the first time. There is no light without the darkness, right? It's just, you don't That's know right. what it is. You don't know what it is to have a good day unless you've had bad. Now take that and put it on your worst day. And you know, those are the times when I think you can find some real purpose and be grateful for all of the things, right. times and other things that you've got. And I think you're really brave to talk about this so openly, to be so transparent about it. And I think it's probably why you have such a dedicated and loyal audience, and they're going to have to drag you out of that radio studio.
Right.
<That's> right.
Ricky Smiley has a brand new Hulu special. I'm not brand new. It actually came out in May, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, let me tell you something. It's still new because a lot of people have not seen it. Listen. Yep. Listen.
Yeah.
Tell us.
I tell you what, you're gonna be laid out. It's solid funny. When I talk about the white version of Thanksgiving versus the black version of Thanksgiving.
I watched 20 minutes of it, and I watched that part. That part of it was part of the 20 minutes. It is so fucking funny, and it is so fucking true. Stovetop stuffing, that's what we like. We don't want any oysters or Old Bay seasoning. We just want bland stovetop stuffing.
Come on now.
A little.
Man, when I tell you that about white people out, I talk about my 600-pound life TV show. That's my favorite show.
That's his favorite show.
All the women that's on there, they all got a man.
I know, I noticed that.
But all the men over there don't got a woman. None of them, not one of them has a woman. It's weird. It's so strange. I agree with you.
I talk about that for probably about 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm going to go watch that part. I'm going to go watch the rest of it. Yeah, I got to about 20 minutes of it.
I go through every single part of my 600-pound life. I am obsessed.
Me too.
I mean, you found a brother over here.
Yeah, me too. We should have a watch party. We'll get on Zoom. Next time you're in Atlanta, we'll do a watch party. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. That Dr. Now Zarden, you know, hello, oh, how you? Yeah. His voice is so funny.
She said, I can't stay here. He said, I have to eat something. He said, you have ate enough to last you the next 4 years.
I know. He told one lady, she said, but I can't do the diet. I find myself starving. He goes, you could not starve in the next 10 years. You've eaten enough food for 50 people. He calls it like he sees it. And it's not like Dr. Narzarden is like, 2 pounds sopping wet. The guy has got a little weight on him too, but he just calls out all of their bullshit. But I guess when you're 90 and you've seen it all, you've heard it all.
That's my show. I had this little spin about little people. That cracked people up. That had people like in tears.
Wait,
like,
do you watch the Seven Little Johnstons?
Yeah,
we have found your TLC.
My soulmate.
I used to watch Little Women Atlanta.
I watched that for a while. Little People, Big World. I'm fascinated. Yeah. I'm fascinated by all of it.
I used to call them the baby housewives.
They were. That's like what it was.
They were flipping small tables.
My comedy special on Hulu is crazy. If you have not seen it, make sure you go to Hulu and watch it. And just go to Hulu. And when you go to search, you can pull up Rinky Smiley or Foolish.
Foolish. Foolish. Yes. Or links in the show notes, as they always are. Links in the show notes to the books. Links in the show notes to find Ricky on a syndicated radio station near you. He is legend. He is comedy gold. I feel really honored to have spoken with you after so many years of knowing about you and listening to you. And it's
the myth, the legend.
Yeah, they say sometimes don't meet your heroes, but this has turned out just fine.
This has been great.
You haven't spent enough time with us for either of us to screw it up, so congratulations.
Yeah, I got to come hang out with y'all, man. We're going to play all soft rock, Delilah played Aha. She played Aha yesterday. She played Take On Me.
Oh, Take On Me is one of my favorites.
That's a great one.
My kids was in the car. They love Aha. They know all of the words.
And that video. Speaking of videos, from back in the day, was that the one where it was drawn?
It's half drawn.
Yeah, drawn. Yeah.
They move in and out. That was amazing technology for the time. Yeah, because someone had to draw it all by hand.
I have kids and grandkids, and they are all in the kitchen. They love Benny and the Jets by Elton John, and they love I've Been Waiting
for a Girl Like You to come into my life. I've been waiting.
That's Foreigner, isn't it? I think that's Foreigner.
Foreigner.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. So, we got to catch up.
Let's hang out.
Next time,
so glad y'all
in a couple of months when you're in Atlanta, I know you come here often. When you're in Atlanta, we'll coordinate because we're right down the street. We have a studio right down the street for you.
I'm downtown. And so,
we'll do it. Ricky Smiley, Hulu, book, tour, radio, legend. Thank you, Ricky
Smiley. Thank you so much, Ricky. Pleasure.
Thank y'all. Okay. Thank y'all so much for having me, man. Y'all be blessed.
Anytime.
You too.
Bye, Ricky.
You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hi, cats and kittens. Rachel here. Do you ever get the urge to speak endlessly into the void, like Brian? Well, I've got just the place for you to do that. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Feel free to call and yell all you want. Tell Brian I need a raise. Compliment Chrissy's innate ability to put up with all his shenanigans. or tell us a little story. The juicier, the better, by the way. We love to hear your voice because Lord knows we're done listening to ourselves. Also, give us a follow on your favorite socials at The Commercial Break on Insta, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And for those of you who like to watch, oh, that came out wrong. We put all the episodes out on video, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak and tcbpodcast.com for all the info on the show, your free sticker, or just to see how pretty we look. Okay, I gotta go now. I've got a date with my dog. No, seriously, Axel needs food. Today is pork chop day.
Well, that was an interview I won't soon forget. Wow. For all the right reasons.
Yeah, so inspiring. I mean, he just had a smile on his face the whole time, and what incredible energy.
Yeah, you could feel it coming through the screen. Like, I just don't know how to explain it. Ricky was a breath of fresh air in a room that is dark and full of wires and black curtains and Brian. It was good. It was good. I really liked Ricky. I look forward to the follow-up interview where
we
have him
hang
in person.
Out with him.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I wanted to give him a hug at the end, like high-five him and give him a hug. And I don't know. I'm going to invite myself over to his Atlanta home to watch My 600-Pound Life and Seven Little Johnstons.
Totally connected
when the new season
that.
Comes out, because it's coming out soon.
It is?
I think so. Yeah. I suspect my spidey sense tells me. Yeah, my TLC-o-meter tells me that there's a new... Well, they do like half seasons. They'll do like eight episodes at a time. Yeah. They record, I think, 16 or 20 of them, and then they put them out 10 at a time so they can stretch it out throughout the year. Same with My 600-Pound Life. And I think both of those are coming back. When the kids go back in school, new episodes come out because people aren't out fucking around.
Parents like to watch that.
That's right. I'm so happy he's a My 100. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Ricky Smiley made me smiley. I have a new Starbucks boyfriend, even though he drinks Sanka. I have a Sanka boyfriend and a Starbucks boyfriend. Yes. There you go. All right, Ricky Smiley, all his information is down in the show notes, his Hulu special that just came out a month or two ago. Go watch it. Ricky's funny. Read his book about grief and forgiveness, gratefulness. I think we should get a copy of that, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
And then you can go see him on tour. Again, links in the show notes. As always, much thanks to Ricky and all the people who made that happen. Really grateful we got the time with him today. Really grateful we got the time with him today. All right, the window is ajar for our merch.
Please.
So now that we've talked about Ricky, let's talk about us for a minute. Let's get back to the important part. Legend to legend to legend. Let's get back to the other legends. 96.7 the legend. ShopTCBpodcast.com. That's ShopTCBpodcast.com. Available now. Go get your TCB merch, please and thanks. We would appreciate it. Pre-order now. The merch will be on its way very soon. Chrissy and I wearing our merch as we speak.
Yes, I love it.
University sweaters, piggy fronting t-shirts, commercial break t-shirts, hats, and a free sticker with every single order. Go there, support the show, rock your gear. You know, because we've been talking to you incessantly about it for 2 weeks, so there you go. Go now. Buy it now.
Links
by now. Links on the website at tcbpodcast.com. Text me if you need me to send you the link. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Add the commercial break on Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the episodes on video, including this one right now. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for you today.
I think so.
I will tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
I will say best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, we will say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.